One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thank you for joining us once again. I'm here with Dave Cowens.
Hey.
Robert Timothy.
How you doing?
I'm Ryan Shores. And with us, our guest that's been on the show many, many times, the beautiful Miss Paige Wesley, everybody.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you for coming on. We're going to talk to Paige because she has her own podcast now, which myself and Bobby, at least, I don't know if Dave's on board yet. We listen to it all the time. Love your new show, The Cult Podcast.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yes. It's so great when you discover something you can binge listen to.
Right.
Where there's like, you've already stockpiled episodes unbeknownst to you. It's like, yes, content.
We did that on purpose, actually.
Not just that, but Paige kind of took a genre in cults that is very, very interesting in and of itself. So even if you're like, screw that Paige person, I don't like her, I don't know her, the subject itself is interesting enough that you should go listen to it.
Yeah, I think that I don't know anyone that's not intrigued by a cult. If you just hear that there was a cult that was running that house, you immediately go to robes, knives, sacrifice, orgies.
Right.
Like,
yes.
You're never like, oh no, they just sold makeup. It was weird.
A lot of the time, it is just selling makeup. Like, we're like, this one's going to be great. And then it's just like, oh, child labor? Wonderful.
Yeah. Usually, just getting away with the scam, usually.
Yeah.
Cults are fun. I'm most excited that you brought Kool-Aid for everybody.
Oh, yeah. Make sure to drink all of it.
Yeah. Before we get too far into it, Dave and I had a show last night at the Madhouse. And
we had half a show.
Well, there were supposed to be two shows. We had 1 1/4.
Yeah, about that.
So you were in the showroom when it happened, but some lady went fucking down in the audience.
Yeah.
She fainted. Wow. She went out. Lights out.
I thought you meant you just insulted her to the point where she's like, I'm done with this. I'm gone.
Here's my perspective. So I was hosting the show. So I do my set up front. Another comic goes up. Now third comic's on stage, and I start to see a little commotion down on the main floor. And someone was like looking around frantically. And so I grabbed Matt Bird because it looked like someone was, you know, having an issue.
And Matt Bird's a paramedic.
Guy, yeah. And a former paramedic and a door guy at the club.
Right.
Now, I've been in, I think we've all been on shows where like something has been happening.
Right.
Yeah.
And usually you just try to like power through it. Like,
sometimes it's a dog.
Don't. Yeah. Like you just kind of gloss over it, let someone deal with that, but we keep the show going. And so that's what I did. I went on stage. I was like, okay, next comic, come to the stage. By the time I got off the stage and she got to the stage, it was like full-blown person was on the floor, passed out. We had to raise the house lights. The show was over.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. This is the one moment. Like whoever's on stage, I'm like, ah, she's not very good. And I walked out. And then all of a sudden, I made a loop around the club, just kind of like going over what I'm going to say. And all of a sudden, I get to the front door to come back in. And the waitress, Carrie, she's like, all right, open both these doors. We're going to need to clear a path. I'm like, what's going on? Like, some lady went down. I think she's dead. I'm like, sick.
So what happened to her? What was the story?
The word is she had like a seizure or fainted. We're not sure which. But she came back to once the paramedics got there. Now, here's what was great about when someone like has a very serious medical issue at a comedy show.
So many great things about this.
So, there is it. But I hate to be insensitive, but the
EMTs are all trying their bits.
You know, how do I get into this business?
What's the deal with hospital food?
So,
Paige, please. This is
could we take any longer?
Why is ambulance spelled backwards on our fucking vehicles? So, it's immediately clear that the only thing on the minds of every comic there is, we're going to keep the show going, right?
Oh, yeah.
This lady was almost dead. Like, there was a chance she could have had a heart attack. We weren't sure she was going to open her eyes again. And people were like, I hope she's okay. So even if she dies, like, I get to do my 10 minutes, right?
Like,
me and David would be like, dude, take it easy. There's a second show. So we're definitely doing the second show. Yes. Okay.
I'm taping it for Conan.
I hate to be insensitive, but I did drive 2 hours. I know that lady's dead, but I did. The gas is really not cheap right now, man.
The part that was amusing to me is like, I know that I'm kind of a bad person. Like, I know
kind
that.
Of.
So while this is going on, I'm standing to the side, maybe 15, 20 feet away, and I'm like saying, you know, a little bit inappropriate stuff to comics to make them laugh. Like, the comic who's on stage when it happened to Aiko, I was like, Aiko, come here. She comes up. I'm like, what are you doing? Get up there and tell your jokes. And I went over to the sound guy. I'm like, hey, can you play something upbeat and laugh? So I was doing
Walking on sunshine.
I was doing this to everybody. And by the third time I made someone laugh, the people down there was happening, looked over at us. I was like, ooh. okay, I'm making people, I'm saying funny things to guys who don't know how to not laugh at something. I got to stop doing
this. And also, like, I didn't want to look insensitive by taking a picture with my phone.
Right.
But I wanted to document this. How often is a comedy show stopped for paramedics?
Right.
I'm like, I not even to make fun of it, just be like, Jesus Christ, look at that on my show last night. And like, but I didn't do it at first because I didn't want to be seen as the insensitive guy taking like pictures while someone's hurt. But then I saw some ratchet ass bitches doing selfies with the fucking corpse.
No.
They're like, ah, world star. I'm like, all right, I can at least take one picture.
Soon as Shores walks over, like puts the phone like in her face, like, somebody turn her head. I need a better angle on this.
I mean, I was thinking about
trying to get the dog filter.
I was doing the pyramid, like, trade outfits. My girlfriend will love it. Trade outfits.
If you had been the person on stage, you could kind of brag that you made somebody laugh to death, right? Like, you'd be like, this person laughed so hard they had a fucking seizure.
I saw that chick's act. I think it was the opposite.
I always thought that because there was this famous story about Chuck Palahniuk, who was the writer who wrote Fight Club and a bunch of other stuff. And he wrote this series of short stories. And when they were doing the reading of this series of short stories around, they had 70 people faint during live readings. Not at one, but at different spots throughout the country, people would faint when they got to a specific word in the reading of this
particular... sounds like a work.
It did sound like it, except I looked it up. You can actually see there's newspaper articles from all these towns. They talk about this thing, and this one, and it was always when they got to one word during the
moist
story.
The word was faint.
Yeah. Here's a comedy hypnotist. Now,
like Peter Wonder.
And I always thought, how powerful must you feel if you're Chuck Palahniuk and you know... my words, not even spoken by me, but just my words will make a person faint.
And the Ambien I put in the punch.
Yeah. What if you were a comedian on stage and all of a sudden people were dropping like flies? Like, what if the next time this girl is on stage, we have a plan to pretend to faint or have another seizure? And from then on, every time she goes on stage, we do a bit where somebody has something horrible happen to them, and she thinks she just has superpowers.
Sure. Well, I was going to say, you'd have to do it at least three times, because if it only happens twice, it's a coincidence. But three times, now she's magic.
Oh, and just to wrap up the little fainting incident or seizure, whatever the hell it was. Like, so Ryan posted that last night, like, holy shit, look what happened to the club. And a lot of people are like, oh my God, I can't believe it. So today I've had a few people text me, is that chick okay? And I'm like, oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, who knows? How would we know?
She died.
Sure hope so.
Like, I'm not even, why am I going to follow up on this?
Speaking of which, someone brought something to my attention not too long ago. A friend I went to college with, she texted me out of the blue. She's like, I know this is random, but I heard a rumor about you back when we were in college. There was a girl who was both disgusting and a pathological liar. Mm-hmm. And when I say pathological liar, I mean like out there. Have you ever had someone who's like, how do you expect me to even believe any of this shit?
Right.
Like, for instance, here's a few of them. She took a semester off from San Diego State, and when she came back, she said she had fallen off a bridge, survived, but then got hit by a car when she had fallen down there.
Okay.
Spent months in a body cast, had to reteach herself how to walk.
Okay.
All within 4 months, and now she's walking fine.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Someone should write a paper about her.
And then she said she got engaged to a guy that no one's ever met, and then when people started pressing, when are we going to meet your fiance? His former gang ties came back to haunt him, and they attacked us in a park, and he defended me, but his old rival gang killed him.
So he had to go to the moon. He's up there now.
No, this is all things she said.
She's a bad pathological liar.
Right.
Yeah. To say it's like, he cheated on me.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all.
It's so easy. You're like, wait a second. What's happened to literally every single boyfriend I've ever had? Well, we're broken up because I don't have them anymore.
Right.
So we broke up.
That's all you had to say. But no, she had to go fantastical. No matter what it was, she had to go like super story. And so anyways, there was a party at her house one night. There was something wrong with this jungle juice because we all went down. We were like the lady in the madhouse comedy club. We went out. It was Cosby-esque fucking juice, but we all like passed out. We didn't black out. We passed out. And the next morning we all kind of like woke up in the living room like, ouch, what happened? So we all woke up, and starting from that morning, she started saying that her and I had sex and are now dating.
Wow.
And here's the thing.
Oh, no.
That was the one thing everyone chose to believe. Like, and this is after all these stories that happened. It's like, come on, it's Alex. She's always, come on, she lies about everything, right, guys? Why'd you have sex with Alex?
Yeah,
like, no, I'm serious. Like, was it the jungle juice? Like, no, we're not dating either. Jesus Christ.
It'd be great, too, if Ryan finally convinced everybody that they weren't dating, and then the story just became, did you hear Ryan and Alex broke up? Oh, man, that's sad.
His rival gang.
Did you hear Ryan has gang
evidently,
ties?
Evidently, yeah. And So anyways,
I heard he cut a crotch hole in her body cast just so that they could have sex.
I would love if she went to the lengths to like poorly Photoshop pictures of her and Ryan together. Right.
It's like a short black man with my face like he just put on.
Yeah.
So anyways, so that haunted me for a while, because even like women would come to like transfer into San Diego State that were in the theater department, like someone would tell me, by the way, he used to date that girl over there. I'm like, I never knew. So anyway, that haunted me for a long time. So I think really that was karma paying me back for all the women I lied about having sex with.
Right.
But I never actually had a woman that like people knew of. I never was like, hey, I had sex with Amanda over there. It was always like a girl at a different school.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
In Canada.
I didn't have sex for the first time until I was 17, right. But I started lying about it when I was like 13.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, you have to, because all your friends are lying too.
Right.
And you don't know they're lying.
Right.
I didn't realize they were lying until college. I'm like, those guys didn't have sex when they were 13.
Wait, they were banging Pamela Anderson. Oh, no.
Now it adds up. No, so because all my friends were lying they'd had sex, I felt like I had to keep up. So I was lying too. So my question to everyone here, Paige, it might be opposite, because girls don't lie about having sex too early. They lie about not having sex.
I mean,
maybe. I don't know.
I was a super nerd.
Right.
So it was accurate that I was not having sex.
Also, Ryan doesn't understand how women work. So.
Right. Yeah.
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 No. So has anyone ever lied about you, or have you ever lied about any sexual encounter?
I've been lied about.
Okay. Well, yeah. How'd that go?
People thought I was a lesbian in high school. Not because I said anything. It just like, it just became a rumor. And I've
my no mohawk didn't help.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was more that like I went to a super private Christian school and sure. They'd never met a real lesbian before. Until a bunch of our classmates came out after graduation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they had no idea. So I was just the loud feminist, and they were like,
that adds up. Lesbian.
Check, they're like, yeah. Subaru, check. Love softball, check.
I drove a CRV, a Honda CRV.
Oh, yeah.
I was on the track team. They were like, nice. Check.
Pole vaulting, that adds up.
And then in roast battle, people lie all the time. They're like, she's fucked so many dudes. I was like, you did not do any research. Zero.
What about you, Bobby?
You know, I think all young men lie to some extent. They all inflate their numbers to make themselves feel better or in front of their friends and that sure. Kind of thing. I'm sure I did some of that, though none of that comes to mind right now. What I will remember for the rest of my life is that I had a girl who followed me to college, and she was the girl I lost my virginity to. And she later came.
Wait, what do you mean followed you to college?
I went out to
in a van?
Yeah, exactly.
In hot pursuit?
No,
like the movie It Follows. Just kind of like stalked him.
I went off to college, and she stayed and did the community college thing. But in California, we have this thing where if you do community college and you're in the top 10% of your community college school, you can go to any public university you want. And so she ended up following me like a few years later and was obviously angry now that years later I am dating other people, which is weird, right? But
right.
She was like, yeah, he likes weird sexual stuff. And I was mad because I was like,
it's not wrong.
I know.
Not at all.
This
no.
is why I was mad. This is why I was mad. I was like, I do now. I definitely do now, but I didn't back then. You didn't know that. We didn't do any weird sex.
So
that was all like straight missionary, nothing, no good, nothing, like with a condom.
Which makes me wonder.
With a condom, like a dork.
That's yeah. the weird.
But that's what I'm saying. Is like, at that level, like, I wonder what weird is to that right. mentality.
Right. Like, I was,
two positions.
Yeah, like there was no.
He kept
there was
one
no,
sock on.
There was never a gerbil in the room. Like,
he made eye contact the whole time. Right. He never
lights
blinked.
Were on.
And what was angering to me was that it was
Did
so
angering.
Angering. Okay. What was angering to me is that it was so nebulous, and she had spread this around in some of the sororities that I would hang out with, some of the people, and they were now everybody was like, so what is it? Like, what are you into? What's the thing? And I was like, so much stuff, but she doesn't know about it at all. She was lying.
Hey, get in that barber pole in the corners for. You'll never know.
Yeah,
you'll right. never know.
I feel like you defending it makes it worse. Like,
that's true. There's not. There's
like, now it's
me thinks the gentleman doth protest too much.
I should have just like picked something. Like, I mean, I'm really into taint stuff. Sorry, guys. Like, I should have just picked one thing, and then it would have seemed less weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I actually had the weirdest one I know is a friend of mine, like years ago back in Michigan. I was working at a restaurant, and this guy that we all liked, he was a nice guy. He was one of the cooks, and he was dating this girl who's going through nursing school, whatever. And like her mom died, and then her dad got cancer, and he died. This all happened like in the course of a year, and she was just like, you know, he was taking care of her. He's like all the shit that a boyfriend would do.
Yeah.
Come to find out, like a year and a half later, her parents are fine. Like,
wow.
But that was the level of lying that she was doing.
That's impressive. Wow. I am insanely impressed. Oh, I want to date that woman and do weird sex stuff
nuts.
To her.
Like, when we all found out, we're like, holy
shit. Tell me about your dead parents.
Well, this brings up an interesting thing that Adam Carolla does sometimes. Let's play this game real quick and see how you guys do.
Okay.
Everybody in your minds right now, picture the most disgusting person of the opposite sex that you have encountered on a regular basis. So they're part of your life.
It was that chick that I talked about, and she said I had sex with her.
It has to be part of your current life today. It can't be like somebody you see once or twice. It has to be relatively current, but the person you would least likely to have sex with, if they David were the address? Last person on Earth, it
David
would
Mercado.
Just... Yeah, it would,
do I say
exactly,
it out loud or no?
No, that's mine. Here's the thing. Would you rather, you have to pick one of the two of these, have sex with that person, but nobody ever finds out. Nobody knows, including that person. Their memory gets wiped clear like Men in Black afterwards. Or don't have sex with that person, but everybody around you not thinks, but knows that you did.
All right,
they know with every fiber of their being. You can show them photographic proof to prove that it didn't happen. They think you did it.
All right. I'm taking both because fuck this game. I win.
See, I would rather somewhere in the middle where I would rather only have to do it once, but then I have the story.
Oh, but you would still tell people
I'd
about
tell
it.
I tell people.
Yeah. Okay. You guys really both just fucked this game.
Yeah.
See, I say you pick the I bang them and nobody finds out about it because really the banging only lasts the time length of the bang, but you have to deal with the shame for the rest of your life.
Well, that's what happened to me. Yeah. I lived this game.
Yeah, you did
and
it, actually.
It sucked.
Would you have rather banged that girl just once and then not?
Honestly, at this point, yes.
Yeah,
I'm getting
right?
text messages
I think
from
comics.
Chicks.
Comics are pretty good at dealing with shame. So I think
I feel like if I could
bury something real good in my memory.
Oh, yeah.
If I had done it and if it was as weird and as gross as everyone thought, then I could mine material from it.
Right. Huh. That's true.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Although I have nothing funny to say about that chick lying about me. Fibs. Another thing. What happened at the Comedy Store last night? You were saying some story when I walked in.
Oh, this was hilarious. And I have no relation to this whatsoever. I just saw this on the comedian's page and I thought it was really funny. But it was somebody went to go do the open mic at the store. And I mean, if you've never done an open mic, one of the things about it is everybody wants time. And you're going to the Comedy Store. That's a good club. Everybody wants time. So the only way they can regulate it is you have to sign up sometime in advance and then get on the list.
Also, there's a procedure. You do sign up in advance or you sign up as an alt. You don't just show up and be like, well, I should be going up soon.
This is La Jolla?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because in Hollywood, a bunch of people sign up and they're just like, we pick who we want.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That list don't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that list doesn't matter at all.
But you still have to sign up, at least in theory.
So that's the minimum requirement.
Apparently, this young lady who has like one open mic under her belt showed up there, but she brought people. And so she thought that she should get a spot, even though she wasn't on the list. And then... I think it was Pruitt or somebody was like, no, of course you're not. No, you're not going up. We have people who actually signed up and they're on the list and they're going up. She got angry at Pruitt. And then, Dave, do you have her post in front of you that you can read? Because I think it is incredibly telling of her personality when she talks about what she's going to do in response to
this. I love the recourse.
No.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is she's never going to work in comedy again.
Again? Did she at all? I don't think she made it to that.
No, but that is interesting. She did like one open mic and now she has changed her Facebook page to professional comedian.
Yes,
that's
she did.
Not a surprise.
That's literal.
That's not a surprise.
That is not an exaggeration. Yeah, yeah. She actually changed her
Facebook. I know guys that like have like did stand up, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago and have not since and still have their job as that. Like, you haven't even found another hobby yet to lie about? Like, it's been a while since you've even lied about this.
I was going to say, I've seen girls do, or guys too, but girls do this, bring people to an open mic, and it's always sad.
Oh, yeah.
It never goes well.
Well, you can't, I mean, if you've got good material and you're ready to go and you're going to, you know, fluff the crowd a little, that's good. You know, that's good.
Yeah,
But what's bad is assuming that you somehow have the right to perform at a place. And by the way, it is one thing if you're a super established comedian, you show up with a bunch of people, you've probably given some leeway, but I've done one open mic before, so you better make some goddamn room for me is a crazy attitude.
I've seen it happen on like a booked show where it's like a booked show at a bar that maybe has an open mic another night of the week or another night of the month. And then people just show up halfway through in mass and they're like, yo, how I get up on this? And you're like, don't.
Yeah.
My favorite of all the open micers is always going to be the old confused guy. I know I've talked about him before.
We had an old guy for a while at Flappers when I was brand new, just starting out, who used to say the same thing every time, but it wasn't jokes. It was just like, I'm here. This is my address. I'm looking for like a hot woman to take care of me. I like a you know, white woman. I don't.
He was
like
just thrown on like that.
Yes, until somebody literally pulled him off stage, and they had to ban him because he kept saying racist shit.
Oh wow! No, but I know I've talked about like the old confused open micers before, but the one recently when I was at a show, a book show, where there's only like four comics, they have our names printed on the list, you know, where it's just like, you know, Damian Pruitt 7 minutes, Ryan Shores 10 minutes, and all of a sudden at the end. He just assumed
wrote
that
in?
Was, he wrote his
wow.
Gerald Muller 25 minutes. Like, wow. He gave himself the most time. He's like, "Oh, is that all you do? You just put your name on this? Oh, perfect."
Game the system.
Is it was he thinking that it's like how much time can you do or
yeah,
how much
yeah.
are you going to?
He's like, "Oh, all these young kids, they only can do 7 minutes. Well,
oh, man.
Wait till they get a load of Jerry Muller."
Oh, that's insane.
All right, I got her Yelp review up in front of me.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Just want to preface this by saying it's a pretty solid paragraph with no punctuation,
oh my God.
Save for a couple of well-placed ellipses.
Just do your best.
Yay. All right.
From what I understand, that's how she talks as well. Keep going.
Okay.
Horrible customer service. The MC treated me like, oh, too bad, so sad, you're not on the list, so better luck next time. I asked him for a business card. He turned in his office and came out and then acted like I never asked him nothing and then ignored me, let me walk out of the place like, no big deal, it's cool. I'll never come back to this place. Completely unprofessional. I will be writing corporate. I have no problem doing business with corporate presidents. I do it every time that somebody does me wrong. One of these places, so ridiculous. It's like you don't have any customer service. Ellipses. I've been in customer service for over 20 years. Completely horrible. The nicest person was literally at the bar. She's the one that gave me the owner's phone number, who to call to complain. Thank you.
She was making fun of you, honey.
Yeah.
The owner currently has dementia, so
yeah,
good
was,
luck with that.
I was going to say, I was like, wait, you're going to go to comedy store?
No, you guys,
corporate?
It gets better. Hang on. Thank you, girl at the bar. Thank you, the amazing person who should be the one up on stage being the MC.
Wait,
she wants the bartender to host the show.
Oh, sure.
Because the bartender was nice to
that's
her.
Right.
Oh, because that's what makes good comics.
Yep.
Nice bartenders.
It's cool. I like doing business on a corporate level anyways because I'm a business owner and I know how it should be ran and how customers, clients, no matter who or the first time open mic night lady, doesn't matter, janitor, doesn't matter, treat them all the same no matter what.
Oh, she's insane.
Yeah. Well, here's what's great. I actually, because somebody posted, like, look up her Facebook page. She's as self-absorbed as you'd think. And I was like, whatever. Let me take a look. I looked on her. One of her posts was, and I believe it was in reference to this. It was, how dare you do that? I'm going to show them what happens when you say no to an only child.
Oh!
I was like, God, I want to follow you around and say no to everything. I want to ruin your dream.
Outrageous.
I want to go around and give you fake tickets that I put on your car and dressed in my cop outfit so that when you come out, I'm like, here you go. And she's like, I didn't park illegally. And I went, no. And then walked. I want to do everything to hurt you.
Again, also, Bobby, it's a felony. Stop dressing up like a cop.
Did you heard that she said she's a business owner, right?
Yes, yes.
She sells Mary Kay products.
No!
That's her business owner angle.
Oh, so she's a victim
owner.
Of a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, she's in a cult.
Yeah. You would know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. I wonder, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure that she gets a link to this episode anonymously. And then I want her to go on Yelp and say she's going to write our bosses at the Degenerate Podcast.
Yes.
Degenerate Podcast Corporate. And she knows how to deal with
it.
Podcasts.
Listen, we don't want our president coming down on us. That's the last thing we
can
want.
I pretend
Jill's
to
fine,
be
okay?
Corporate? I would gladly pretend to be corporate.
Oh, that would be great.
I
so
Damien,
fun.
The guy who, the MC that she said was disrespectful, ignored her. He posted on when someone shared this with everyone, Damien's like, that conversation never happened.
Yes.
I had just heard recently that this woman has been to the Madhouse now, which is my home club.
Oh,
right.
Shoot.
I am dying to meet her because
right.
I am going to one-up Damien's treatment of her.
Oh, please do.
I am going to – oh, my God. I'm so looking forward to it. I have no idea.
Just use the word no a lot. That's what we really need.
I mean, like, to put it in perspective, like, my home club is Flappers in Burbank. It's not as big as the Comedy Store. And if they got that email, they'd be like, who the hell is this?
Yes.
And ignore it.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
What is she thinking?
Oh, really? An open micer is angry with us? Well, our entire business
delete.
Is at stake.
delete.
Oh, the MC was rude?
She actually had another post besides her Yelp review, like on her page. And I don't remember off the top of my head, but I remember it started with like, if this is how you're going to treat up-and-coming comics. And I'm like, you've done an open mic.
Right, yes.
You're not going.
You're not an up-and-coming
anyway.
Comic.
No. Now, Paige, I want to talk a little bit about your show here.
Yay.
Now,
sorry, we're out of time.
Next time, we had Matt Damon coming on as well. So anyways, I listened to the first episode. I've been addicted ever since. The first one was called Green Diamonds.
Yes.
And I did not know what it meant until I listened. And evidently, no, who
is
the...
Is that a Lucky Charms reference? Because that's all I got.
Who is the subject of your first podcast?
The first one is Satya Sai Baba.
Right.
Out of India. So that one's kind of cool. It's more... It's one of those things where it looks like it's just kind of an ashram community and then turns kind of sinister.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, just to catch everyone up, the premise of your podcast is every week, and it is weekly, right?
It is weekly. Yeah.
You you cover a new cult from just start to finish, everything about them.
Yeah.
All right. So how did you decide to land on this topic? Because it's great.
So my co-host and I, we're sorority sisters, or we were in college.
Oh, so you're in a cult. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So we were both super into true crime. And there's a couple true crime podcasts that have covered a couple cults.
Like Last Podcast, which we're both huge fans of.
I'm a huge fan. They've covered a couple other cults, usually only the ones that end in murder, though. And that's the thing, is like not every cult ends in mass murder.
Yeah, there's some lame ones.
Still pretty shitty. Yeah. And so
there's one where they all dress up as fake cops.
I'm sure there's one.
And they commit vigilante crimes.
Yeah.
That's not a cult, it's a one man army.
Just giving out tickets to that one bitch. So we thought it'd be kind of fun to basically just do true crime episodes about that because they were our favorite true crime episodes of other shows.
Now, you are also, ever since the first episode, you're kind of almost doing some investigative reporting because I remember you were trying to go to a diner that was owned by a cult.
Guess what? So I was going to try and go today because it's nearby.
Yeah.
Closed for Rosh Hashanah.
Ah!
Yeah, it's like the universe doesn't want me to go, I think, is what it is.
Well, the interesting thing about cults is all the different ways they form and form around. So you talk about sometimes how it gets super abusive where, you know, it starts off as like, hey, we're going to do yoga together. And then it becomes, give me your kids and let's steal other people's kids.
No, totally. Well, and you'd be amazed how many times it just starts with yoga.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Half the time.
It does seem
that
to be a common thing.
To most cults.
It's like either yoga or LSD. Like I was working the other day on, and it'll be up probably tomorrow, an infographic of like, how do you know if it's a cult?
Mm-hmm.
And the like the first question is like, where did you meet these people? And the first one is yoga or LSD or other cults. Like they all end up as a cult.
And I became fascinated with cults when I listened to Last Podcast on the Left. They had a four-part series on Om Shinrikyo, which is one of the best four-part series of any podcast on any topic you will ever
listen to.
It will blow your mind, and it makes you realize these aren't just four nitwits on a couple of acres in the middle of Oregon. That particular thing, that guy went from being a blind, overweight, dirt poor Japanese guy to
acupuncturist.
A billionaire. He became a billionaire.
Yeah.
And a billionaire who killed hundreds of people, synthesized anthrax and nerve toxins, got attack helicopters, tried to buy a nuclear weapon, like
sold his bathwater for thousands of dollars.
Literally almost killed tens of thousands of people.
Yeah, he's lucky they were at like he kept his followers in these crazy brain helmets and fed them acid all the time.
Yeah.
And had he not done that, they might have killed way more people.
If it wasn't for the fact that he had to rush the thing because he was being prosecuted, the attack that he did plan that ended up killing like 12 people, injuring 2,000.
It would have killed about 4 million.
Yeah, it would have killed an insane amount of people. It just happened to be that he had to rush it so it didn't come out super well.
Right.
He assassinated judges with poison gas. Like, he was a fucking nutty. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, I'm hooked. So the fact that you have started this podcast that looks into these things is fascinating. A couple of interesting things that you've pointed out. It's weird where the priorities of some of these cults lie because it seems like they don't put a lot of thought into what they're actually putting out as a message, but they put so much thought into the message itself. You brought up the production value on the video, the music video. Why don't you give a background a little bit?
Also, their merch is a little shy.
Yeah,
really
merch
shore
is,
that up.
There's never merch, which is so frustrating. Like, we were trying to see because I
want a Heaven's Gate t-shirt.
We tried to find Heaven's Gate shoes.
Yeah, that's what you look for.
They cost like $7,000. But we also, like, we were trying to come up with merch ideas for us, like, for our fans.
Right.
And we were like, how cheap could we get Dianetics for?
Yeah.
Not cheap.
Oh, really?
They don't want to give away any Dianetics.
Wow.
They want your money. So we found a couple different cults, and we haven't really covered Scientology yet at all.
I was going to ask if that's coming up.
It's been covered, really.
It has. It's one of those ones where we would need multiple episodes.
And a way better attorney.
Like, there's a couple cults that we've kind of held off on.
Right.
That's what I was going to ask you. Now, because you've mainly covered a lot of defunct cults, so you don't have to worry.
Yes, that's a huge
thing. But, I mean, if you start getting into active cults, do you worry about not only legal repercussions, but maybe for your safety? I mean, they're committed.
They leave us terrible iTunes reviews.
Oh, nice.
It has already happened once. And it's from the cult with the great production value.
Oh, really?
So they're,
wait, explain that. Give the background to that.
Yeah, so they're not a defunct cult. They're mainly out of Hawaii. They own a chain of like health food stores.
Oh, of course.
But they also own a video production company.
And they also have like senators and congressmen,
and,
right?
Yes. And they have at least three members in Hawaiian State Senate and like one in federal, like the actual Hawaiian Senate seat in DC,
which is crazy.
It's insane. I mean, the good part about it is like the more we looked into it, because we're like, this is nuts, but she hasn't really done anything right. crazy as far as like her actual Senate seat, which is probably why we haven't gotten a cease and desist yet. But they primarily use their production company that they own to film their own videos. And so one of them was like a series of kung fu films that are online, and they're only like a couple minutes long, but they're insane and fantastically insane. And then there's like a yoga star, like they have a yoga star in their cult, and then she films her own music videos, which are equally insane.
But they look professional. Like, I can't stress this enough. It's not like they look good. They look like something that came out of, like, a record company.
They are better made than the videos we had to watch for R. Kelly last week. Like, they have outproduced most of Hollywood. Like, right. it's a perfect, like, the color correction's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's shot on, I was, like, looking at it, I was like, this is shot on like HD. Yeah. Like, this is amazing.
Wow. Nice.
Oh, my God. Like, I was watching it, and, like, I went to film school. I was like, this shoot costs $1 million, like easily for a 7 minute long song. No song should be that long, but like,
tell that to Axl Rose.
And if you're wondering if the song is good,
oh no, it's terrible. It's horrendous. It is horrendous.
Is there a way to play it on the on this show?
Oh no, no, they're very litigious. That was one where we had to like find documents so that if they came after us, we could be like, no, we have proof.
Okay. All right.
But they did leave us mean iTunes reviews because that's all they could really do. And they were all spelled badly because they all went to cult school and not real school.
Well, here's an interesting thing. And I've heard this brought up a lot when you talk about theological studies is, what are you going to define a cult as? You know, because they used to say a cult is just what the big religions call a little religion. And where do you cross the line between we are a religion and we're a cult?
We came up with like five different mm-hmm. things that would make a cult a cult. The first one was unconventional beliefs, like beliefs that are outside of what most people would consider the norm.
But wouldn't that be arguable for any religion?
That's true. So not every cult is going to hit every one of these markers,
right.
but they're going to have most. And even some religions will have one or two of these.
Right.
The question is, like, how many of them do they have? Is it also, like, and we also look at it as it requires some sort of financial or physical sacrifice to be in.
Okay.
Because when you think about, like, a norm, like, let's say, like, a regular old Baptist church,
uh-huh.
you can go and not give them money.
Okay.
For as long as you want.
Right.
We also looked at, can you leave anytime you want?
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah. Because for most other, like, even, you know, Islam, you could just leave.
Right.
It's fine.
Technically, you're apostate, and the Quran says you should be killed, but you're right.
But you can leave, yeah. So the other one we look at is, are there differences between the theology for the leaders versus the followers?
What is your open mic list policy?
Exactly. You have to
be
on it.
Can I talk to
it.
The president?
Like, for example, we find a lot of cults where they'll be like, okay, the Lord says that we can't look at the internet because it's evil.
Right.
Except for
porn.
King Billy Joe Bob, because he's the most holy.
But in a way, wouldn't that encompass things like the Amish? In the Amish communities, you're not supposed to technically use the internet, but their business leaders do it all the time. And they have these Blackberries and they're allowed to do it.
So we have actually looked at the Amish. The only thing that we have that has made us maybe not do them yet is they're not. Our fifth one is, are they actively recruiting?
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good one.
Or not.
Right. Because the Amish aren't actively. You're just kind of born Amish.
Right.
And we kind of looked at it in the same way as like, maybe a tribe in the Amazon,
uh-huh.
which would fit all of those things.
Right.
I would like to do a whole episode where we follow around an Amish guy on Rumspringa.
Yeah.
I just see him go nuts.
TLC has a show.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. You can watch it.
I've been
really
beaten
sad.
To the punch.
It's super sad. And either they end up going back or they leave forever and have no life skills, or they end up selling Tupperware. And that lady's my favorite.
What's the show called?
I have a suggestion for your podcast.
Yes.
And you should.
Oh, good. Really, notes.
Yeah. Yay. You should join the cult.
Oh,
well,
just
so
to really kind of get the.
We have definitely emailed.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because that's each episode takes about 3 weeks of research.
Right. Oh, wow.
It's in depth. And so a lot of times what we'll do is either contact former members, usually, or see like how far we can get into joining without paying money.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know about you guys, but when she said each episode takes 3 weeks of research, did you think about how little prep we put into the show?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
That was the first thing I thought. Like, when we arrived, you're like, all right, I told you guys to come up with one topic. Did you come up with one topic? No, I did not. Fuck!
For us, it's about 3 minutes of prep time per episode.
See that whiteboard behind you?
I know.
That took 2 minutes, and that's all-week
prep. You were still writing on it when I got here, and I was 15 minutes.
I was like, Paige is here.
we actually, it was really funny, the one we have releasing tomorrow, or by the time this episode comes out, 2 days ago, they tried to recruit my co-host, not knowing about our podcast.
That's awesome.
Ran into her in life, actively tried to recruit her, and that's how we got all of their cult material.
Wow.
Yeah, so that one's pretty good. It's like an hour and a half long because we had so much more info than we were normally able to get because cults are very secretive. Wow.
What was, of all the cults you've covered so far, what was one of the details that made you most do a spit take? Was it because, like, for instance, going back to your first episode, was it that the guy was spitting up costume jewelry and saying it was diamonds, something like that? What was the big
costume jewelry is fine. The episode after that, episode two, where they're using yogurt to have sex rituals.
Oh yeah,
that one was
pretty
crazy.
Saturday night.
That's just I knew.
Oh wait, that was what I was doing with that first girlfriend. I guess that is a little weird,
isn't
it?
A little weird.
Don't get the mixed berry; it has seeds
and sugar. We kind of knew that was coming up for our first six episodes. We kind of told each other what we were doing. But normally, now that we're kind of out of our first, kind of clump of episodes, typically whoever's doing the episode that week does the research and the other person is clueless.
Okay.
And so we're learning about it as the listeners are. So not last week, but the week before, there was a cult that thinks karate is one of the main evils of the world.
Oh.
And when she told me about it, we had to record it twice.
Is this a bunch of taekwondo guys?
They're just random white trash people, but I scream laughed for a good 20 minutes and we had to stop. And then
now what do they think karate is doing to the world?
They think it's run by a demon.
Okay. Chuck Norris or?
I don't know. They didn't specify other types
Wonder
of
Boy Thompson.
Arts either.
A bunch of idiots. It's obviously run by an interdimensional alien.
Right.
Demon.
The reptiles. It was literally just like karate's a demon and it's a scourge on the earth, but that we had no other information.
I would love to just go be a student and just use my knowledge of martial arts to just mess with them. Karate's evil. American or traditional? Well, all of it. Point based or what? Just keep going. All right. Let me ask you something. Taekwondo, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly. I want to know what their discipline.
Jiu-jitsu.
Do they take a discipline that they're okay with?
Are we okay with that? Because I just signed up for a $300 a month thing there, and I don't think they have a refund policy.
Here's my question. I take a Muay Thai class, and the front kick is very similar. Am I being satanic when I'm doing that?
Well, and it was a Christian-based cult, too, so it was karate leads to Satan.
It is weird how those get involved. In our own experience, when we did
Kempo involved?
When we did the Flat Earth debate, I realized that there's this gigantic community of uber-Christians who are super into the Flat Earth idea.
Which blows my mind, because, even the Bible doesn't support that.
Well, it kind of does, and they do have some biblical scripture to say that that is the case, and they're not necessarily wrong, but... I mean, they're wrong, but
they're very wrong. The earth is round.
Right. They're not necessarily wrong in their necessary biblical beliefs, but a lot of these people come to their flat earth things because they are incredibly Christian. They're really far on that side, and they feel that this is the way God is telling them the world is, and the rest of us are satanic and pulling it away. And I almost wonder how long before, because right now that's just a loose collection of beliefs.
Right.
How long before some charismatic leader comes in,
unites them,
and coalesces that into a cult?
Well, and that's always interesting when we find that on our show and when I find it in life, because I was raised super Christian with very cool parents, but I know a lot of the Bible. And more often than not, I see something like that. I'm like, no, it doesn't say that shit.
Paige, do you find that all the cult leaders that you've researched so far share any qualities?
A lot of them are insecure.
Really?
Yeah. They.
I would have thought opposite.
Like, no, they no, need I would, that everyone to make them feel good, and they are all very paranoid.
Yeah.
Well, okay, yeah.
But
yeah.
there does seem to be some kind of charismatic aspect to
yeah,
them.
Yeah, and they're very charismatic. I mean, they're a lot like comedians. Like, yeah. how many comedians
They all run
have
the
met?
Lights.
Yeah, every time they forget to write
they
their names
They want to talk to some president of a comedy club.
They're always like, are we going to keep doing the show even after we did the mass murder with the Kool-Aid?
I feel like it'd be inappropriate. We gave a syringe full of poison to a baby.
I was listening to some Jonestown podcast recently, actually, and they were talking about it. It's
yeah,
like, man,
File did them.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. And it's like, man, we really gave Kool-Aid a bad name because I guess it was like Flavor Aid.
It's Flavor Aid.
Yeah, we've been saying Kool-Aid this entire time. We've been misrepresenting the brand.
Here's what's crazy. It's grape Flavor Aid, and I know this because we bought it in bulk for our fans.
Nice.
We just haven't given it out yet.
One cult that I really hope you cover. I'm going to try and find out the name of this one just so you do an episode about it. I discovered this cult because I watched a horror movie called Border Town. And at the end,
we did that one.
You did that one.
That's episode 3.
That's episode 3?
Yeah.
Okay. Paige, I need you to correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
This was a cult in Mexico.
Yep. Matamoros, Mexico.
Where they basically thought they were gaining power from human hair and cocaine. So really, it was
they
the
were
cocaine.
Half,
you know what? I've been there.
It's actually
I've been there.
Way worse than that.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
Elaborate.
They thought that they would gain power from certain body parts of victims, but it kind of started out grave robbing, but then they started killing people live because they would assume that they would get more power.
Yeah,
that
get
way.
More juice that way.
Yeah, well, and so they had a cauldron with like people's body parts in it, but they were also running drugs at the same time.
To support their body harvesting hobbies.
Well, they kind of supported each other because the sacrifices made everyone else afraid of them, so they were better drug runners. But then the drugs kind of funded their ability to just constantly murder.
So like
people.
They're also like a comedian. Like, all right, the cocaine's my day job, but my passion is ripping people's eyes out of their sockets and eating them.
What eventually got them caught is that they killed a white person.
Right.
That's no good.
Here's what's terrible. This is not the first time we've seen this. Like the Sai Baba cult was the same way, where their one of their current iterations in Thailand accidentally murdered 3 white people, and now they're like,
was that on Murder Island?
It was on Murder Island, right. Yeah.
See, now, but with the Mexican one where they accidentally killed a white person, that's where they would have started gaining power. I mean,
they
were on the right track.
They were like, we need protection against the gringos on the other side of the border where we're transporting these drugs. We have to kill a gringo.
And did they get a tourist or something?
Yeah, it was a spring break tourist. Yeah. So if you watch, there's actually multiple films about it. There's one called Borderlands with Ryder Strong.
It was part of the After Dark Film Fest. Very good horror movie.
Yeah.
I would love it if, since they apparently got them on spring break, a lot of the evidence came from background footage of Girls Gone Wild tapes.
Well, they kept bringing it up in all the books and documents we had. Is they're like, the last person to see him alive was Miss Tanlines. And you're just like, this is not useful.
Well, let me ask you, since you brought up the horror movie Borderlands, how close was that movie to what actually happened?
So it's not far off, believe it or not.
Were the police as afraid of them as they seem in the movies?
Yeah, well, and that was part of why they didn't get caught until it was a white person, because that involved the DEA and the FBI. It was like it brought rain from the U.S. down into the border.
Side note, this is why I always make fun of people who are like, you go to Mexico? It's so scary. I'm like, not for white people. It's not. It's great. Nobody wants to fuck with you because that just causes a whole bunch of heat on you. They see you. You're just the gringo going down there to get drunk and come back home. You are fine.
Well, and that's the thing. That's what happened. I mean, like, this
kid
disappeared.
We're gonna get sued for that advice.
And all of a sudden, like, Oprah's down there and Geraldo's down there and America's Most Wanted is down there. Like, now, you know, when they were hiding in plain sight, now they can't hide at all.
Okay. And then
so
what
they
about
ended up going on the run?
What about weird offshoots? So we just brought up that Mexican one.
Yeah.
There is a Mexican offshoot of Mormonism that's actually, it's like where Mitt Romney's father was born, and it's just across the border, and they fled to Mexico to continue to be
polygamous.
Yeah. And so does that become a cult? Has that hit cult status now that they've gone off to another country and started a commune?
I would say so. I mean, the second you go commune and isolation, I think that usually defines you as a cult. We've had a lot of requests to do Mormonism, but
I
feel like...
Yeah, because there's like the LDS groups over in the Arizona area.
The Warren Jeffs kind of folks.
Yeah. When I was in Arizona last week, I was like trying to go, and they were like, you can't go. They don't let people in. But it's one of those things where it's kind of like the cults we have around regular Christianity, where it's like, it's not the normal people. It's just the extreme people. So you really have to be careful about the way you define it.
I'm seeing Paige like, you can't go over there. Like, I'm going to email the president and write a Yelp review. I am used to doing this. Do not fuck with me. I'm an only child.
I'm not an only child, but I'm like too curious for my own good. Because like when we did episode 3, I was like, there's a Santeria store by my house. I'm going to, and it was closed, of course. And I was like, do I get out? And then I was like, I don't even speak Spanish. Like, what am I doing?
Hola.
I tried to drag Jake. I was like, Jake, you speak Spanish. And he was just like, not for this. I don't.
No, like, he says, poquito. Yeah.
So Paige, tell our listeners how they can find your podcast.
So we are on Twitter at Cult Podcast Show. We're on Instagram at Cult Podcast, and then we're on iTunes at Cult Podcast.
Go listen to it. It is really funny. Personally recommend it. Great, great job.
And then join her cult.
Yeah.
And I mean, also follow Paige online. She's very, very funny. You can find her on any of our social media pages. Paige Wesley. Paige, we love having you on. Thank you for coming back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
I'm Ryan for Paige, Bobby, and Dave saying see you next week. Cruising with the Twos.
Karate's a demon, and it's a scourge on the earth. Yeah, time passing by. Oh, yeah, time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.
Give me your kids and let's steal other people's kids.